This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the, hey Marge, did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Running a growing business means getting the insights you need wherever you are. With Shopify's single dashboard, you can manage orders, shipping, and payments from anywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the United States, and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/ifanboy, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/ifanboy now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/ifanboy. You are listening to a special edition iFanboy podcast on The Amazing Spider-Man. Welcome to a special edition iFanboy podcast on The Amazing Spider-Man. My name is Connor Kilpatrick. I'm here with Ron Richards.
Hello, Connor.
And Josh Flanagan.
Howdy, everybody.
We are from iFanboy.com, and normally we come to you every week talking about the week's books and the Pick of the Week podcast, but we also talk to you about comic book movies and anything we care to talk about.
We have that power.
There's no hard and fast rules. So we talked about the Avengers earlier. We were talking about Batman coming up, but now The Amazing Spider-Man, the least talked about superhero movie of the summer. And there will be spoilers, so if you haven't seen the movie, you know, pause the show or don't. It doesn't really matter. I will start things off by saying first of all, I didn't love the Raimi films. I liked the second one a lot, but I hated the third one. I thought the first one was really boring.
Did you have diminishing returns on that, did you find, or did you just not like them from the beginning?
No, I didn't know. Ron will attest. We walked out of the very first one, and I said that wasn't very good.
Yeah, and I'm there with you. I enjoyed them. I thought they were right. I liked moments of them, but I didn't like overall. I was never in love with Tobey Maguire as Peter Parker and whatever. And personally, everyone was like, too soon for a reboot, and why is Sony doing this? But like, I've been excited for this one.
Yeah.
Like from everything I've seen from the get-go, I like Mark Webb as the director. I'm a big fan of Andrew Garfield. I'm pretty excited. I was pretty excited going into this.
My take on this film is it was a deeply flawed film that I enjoyed parts of.
Oh, we're just getting right into the movie.
Okay. Yeah, that's good.
I mostly enjoyed it. But I had some issues. There were some problems.
Yeah.
I liked the other ones. No, not three. Nobody likes three, but, at all. It's funny because I really liked the other films. I think, I never realized before, how much of Raimi films they were, I guess. I mean, I knew they kind of were, and I thought that was fun. I used to be a bigger Sam Raimi fan than I am today. But I always sort of liked Tobey Maguire, and I thought it was fun. But I liked this one a lot more than those.
Yes, absolutely.
I was surprised at it. I actually really enjoyed this movie, and I absolutely recognized that there were flaws. There were gigantic untied threads left at the end.
Huge holes.
You know, I didn't care. I walked out and I was like, I had a ton of fun. And it's really easy for me to sort of figure out what the things that I liked about it were.
Well, the strength was the cast. Yeah. I thought Mark Webb's an indie director. He did 500 Days of Summer, which made me obsess over my ex-girlfriends for a
while.
And
I hated that. That's another like.
I loved that.
I know. I love that.
No, I know you guys did.
He excelled, I thought, in the character interactions. I thought the
the Gwen Peter stuff, mm-hmm. every time they were on camera together, was just golden.
Oh, and those boots and the socks. It was funny
the boots and the socks.
God. It was funny because the one thing that I thought was interesting was that it was almost like Spider-Man became an afterthought.
Well, yes. you know
like there was not a lot of time spent in costume. There was not a lot of time. One of the big problems was, I think, the pacing of it, and that it felt very dragged out.
The pacing and the storylines that, and we'll get to that in a minute. Yeah, that was the biggest.
But I was gonna say that the pacing was so long, it was so dragged out. It took them so long to get to the origin aspect of it, but then we didn't. It was just like, okay, now he's Spider-Man, and it was just – it was very light in terms of depth on the origin aspect.
Yeah, well
going into this, I was hoping they weren't going to retell the origin. I was just like, just do a Spider-Man movie. He's Spider-Man. We know who Spider-Man is. Just go with it.
Well, the problem with that is the whole mythology of this trilogy they hope to do is based on the origin. The whole storyline with the parents is going to be the mythology of the
– Which I hope so, because Lord knows they underused Campbell Scott. You got a great actor like Campbell Scott, and he's in it for like 30 seconds.
You know, I wasn't looking forward to this at all. Like, I expected nothing of it. And when I went in, I thought, I don't really want to watch another Spider-Man origin. But at the end of the day, I didn't feel like you did. I felt like they gave it more time, and they made it better. Primarily because this time, I was like, wow, Martin Sheen was a lot better than that other Uncle Ben. A lot better. And it wasn't just because he was Martin Sheen, but it was because you spent more time with him. You liked him. You got to see how charming he was. They killed off the other guy immediately just trying to rush through it and get to everything. And I thought it worked out much better for that.
Yeah, I agree. Did Martin Sheen get new teeth?
His teeth always looked like that.
Yeah,
it's always like that? Okay, yeah.
If I ever entered into some sort of 80s scenario like My Two Dads, where I have two comic book movie dads, mm-hmm. We live in a loft apartment in Chicago, wherever the hell that was, I hope that it's Michael Caine's Alfred and Martin Sheen's Uncle
what
Ben.
Do we do when we fall, sir?
I really hope. I'll get lots of great life lessons. There'll be lots of pats on the back.
You're only supposed to blow the bloody doors off.
She was 16.
16 years old.
I've been working on that constantly, and I was just happy for the chance. Thank you.
You're welcome. Martin Sheen was great. I thought he was a great Uncle Ben. I mean, interestingly, they changed a lot. If you think about Raimi's movie, it was pretty faithful to the the tropes of the original Spider-Man origin, from the wrestling to the robber who kills Uncle Ben. Here, that's completely different, which I didn't really necessarily have a problem with. It was sort of, as long as the main points are there,
and it had the elements. I mean, like basically, they changed it around a little bit. They had a wrestling aspect that, you know, that's where he gets the inspiration for the costume. They didn't go as deep into it as Raimi did. But like the biggest, and this is where we get into the problems. The biggest problem was, so Uncle Ben gets shot by a random robber, and Peter starts using his powers to go try and just never finds the guy who does it. And like, there's no resolution to that.
Well, I think also that's probably coming too. I think they're really stretching this out to a 3-issue story.
And also, I think the point of that being that he was like, "This is a waste of my time. I should be doing something else." That's right. Sort of how I justified it in my mind. And I did notice that stopped. Like we said, there are a bunch of obviously dangling plot threads. What happened to Dr. Rafa or whatever his name was? Ratha.
Yeah.
Left hanging in the car. What happened to going to find the dude with the tattoo on his? I didn't really care.
Yeah.
I totally was having fun with it. I'm watching him going, God, maybe they won't kill Uncle Ben in this one. Yeah. And I was like, I kind of hope that, but you know, they have to. And then I'm watching later. I'm like, are they going to have to kill Gwen too? Is that going to happen in this one?
Yeah. When he threw her out when they're in the high school, and he goes, okay, I'm going to throw her out the window now, and throws her out the window, and then webs her and pulls her back. I'm like, no, don't do that.
That was really fucking with like the 30,000 people who understand what that means.
Yeah.
I mean, like, that was a lot of trouble to go through to sort of drop that in there. But it was
also
cool.
A funny beat for everyone else. Yep. The theater laughed at it, you know.
I thought,
but her back went backwards.
I thought Sally Field got completely underused. I mean, we only ever time we saw Aunt May. That was the one thing. And if you haven't had a chance, go to the site, godifanboy.com, and read Paul Montgomery's review, which is possibly one of the best movie reviews I've ever read. But the one thing I disagree with him is I didn't think there was any nuance to Sally Field's portrayals Aunt May at all. All we got a sense of was that she can cry.
Well,
it was, yeah, I didn't, and at the end, like, I'm sorry, like, I thought it was good that Peter kept on getting beat up and there was some actual real world kind of consequences to fighting and stuff like that. But you come home like that and nobody exhales and hugs you. You know what I mean? That's like calling 911 beat up level.
I thought he was going to tell her. I mean, we all did. That was the point. But no, you're right. I love that he got the shit beat out of him. I thought that was fantastic because it's something that they'd skipped over before. And I don't want to compare this to the other movie. By the way, brilliant choice is not putting J. Jonah Jameson in. Brilliant choice because you're just, if nothing, you're not going to beat that. And also he worked in Raimi's movies better because he's cartoony, and in this, he wouldn't have fit.
He's much more grounded. I liked the tone much more than the Raimi movies.
Yeah, I did too.
Which is a much more realistic, grounded tone. I thought they used the powers much better. And I thought the fact that a lot of the effects were practical as opposed to the really cartoony CGI that they were using in the other Spider-Man movies was much better. I thought everyone groans at parkour, but I thought that was a great actual use for this particular character. It actually fit that he sort of bounces around when he runs and jumps in a weird. You know, that really, the physicality of Spider-Man was really impressive.
I thought it was great. I mean, it was funny when the Raimi movies came out, we were blown away because it was like, wow, I can see Spider-Man swinging through New York City. But now seeing this puts those movies to shame. I mean, I thought it was great. I thought it was. I thought the web shooter was awesome. I loved the whole thing, how it came together as Spider-Man. I admit it was a little hokey, but I got a little misty when the guy whose kid Peter Spider-Man saved.
Thomas Howell.
See Thomas Howell.
Pony Boy. I was like, is that? That's Pony Boy.
Yeah.
But like when they moved all the cranes so he can go up Sixth Avenue quickly, I was like, that's New York. That's awesome. Well,
that brings up a really good point is that the other movie wasn't shot in New York. They were shot in LA and they were shot in Canada and they felt kind of like New York. But this one was in Queens.
The house that May lived in was in my old neighborhood in Brooklyn. That was two blocks away from where I lived.
I mean, I was just watching it go, and I was like, this is New York City. It was like the grubby floor of the city in a way much better than the other film had done. And I really like, you know, like when he's walking at the end and he sees that graffiti on the sort of bridge underpass, you know, and that sort of behind that fence. I was like, they really captured the feeling of the city a lot better than some. And, you know, like Gwen's apartment was clearly an apartment in the city. You know, and it was that part was a lot of fun. The only thing wrong with that was that there's no way you've got a glass front door in Queens.
Right. Yeah.
That's a bad move. I don't care what part of Queens you're in.
Also, so was the cop independently wealthy or was he on the take or what? Because that Central Park West apartment
it's
was pretty...
been in his family. Well, also, his wife works in publishing. I mean,
well, he's a captain, but he's a boss. Anyway, flaw-wise, I thought there was a lot of problems. We talked about the fact it felt really choppy, and everyone's read it, but we'll mention it anyway. There's a website called Badass Digest, which did a story about how they went through, because they released a lot of footage, a lot of trailers, a lot of stills from this movie before it came out, and they went through all those things and found tons of stuff that were in these trailers that were not in the final film, and they basically seemed to have cut out the entire subplot regarding Peter's origins and his ties to Dr. Connors and his ties to his parents, and apparently a lot of stuff got left on the cutting room floor that would have dramatically changed the story. And that, I think, really, it makes sense when you read this article and then go back and look at the film about how much just whole piece of the movie just disappear. And I think a lot of it leads to that choppy feeling you feel watching the movie.
Yeah. There's been a lot of criticism, but I like the idea of pulling Peter's parents into it. I know Marvel's done a little bit with that. They made them Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or something like that in the comics, but I like pulling in the parents and the aspect of tying it into the research. And I thought that was good. I actually liked Reese Ifans or whatever his name is as Kirk Connors. I thought that was good. But it goes from zero to wackadoo real quickly.
Yeah,
like really quick, and then the other thing is that like when he gets fired and then he takes to the sewers, it's like where is he getting the power for all that equipment in the sewer?
He's tapping into a power line.
I mean, he's a giant lizard man.
Yeah,
that's one of the things that that Paul on the written review had brought up is that the villain wasn't terribly compelling or deep, and I felt that to a certain extent, but in a little bit I felt like it was once he was running around, it felt like a bit of a monster movie. And I kind of liked that. I was like, this really feels like a Spider-Man villain. Like he was bigger and he was faster than Spider-Man. Like he was the lizard, you know, sort of the one that we knew from the comic books. And he was brought to life very well in sort of the action part of that, the sort of physical threat part of that. You know, you're watching basically two kinds of animals go at each other. And I really enjoyed that part, you know, as he's sort of rampaging through the city and nobody can stop him. It felt I know we've seen a lot of comic book movies, but it felt like one of the sort of better action villain parts of these superhero movies, I think. In that sort of cartoony action sense, as opposed to like the psychological Heath Ledger kind of thing. It's a very different sort of villain, I guess.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed that. I thought those sort of fight scenes took on something that I think it was right up there with the Dr. Octopus fight scenes, which I think were the closest that any of the other movies got to sort of showing what these guys would look like in the real world in a fight situation.
I feel like there was a great movie in there. And yep. then the studio decided for whatever reason to chop out a chunk of it and left a very sort of disjointed movie, which had great aspects to it. It really did. I enjoyed it overall. I didn't love it.
I mean that's kind of
where I had a good time watching it, but I didn't love it.
That's kind of where I net out too. Like I walked out of it thinking, you know, it's like I liked it, but it fell short. It's like if I had to like give, you know, like I kind of give it like a B minus, you know, maybe C plus, you know, like it's like
wow.
It was, you know, it's not, we're not, I don't think, you know, and we've had some offline conversations and people have compared it to Green Lantern and all that. Like, I don't think we're talking this extremely bad as it was. I think that there was potential. Like I said, I really liked Andrew Garfield. I mean, I liked him.
He blows Tobey Maguire out of the water.
Like even the personalization in being Spider-Man, like the scene with the car thief.
Yeah.
Like that, like you never saw Tobey Maguire do that. That's the wisecracking Peter Parker.
Mm-hmm. Tobey Maguire wasn't funny when he tried to be funny, and this is not, I'm not blaming him, it's the script. Yeah. When he tried to be funny, it came up as really cheesy and unfunny, which is one of the things I really hated about those other movies.
Yeah.
He was genuinely funny here, and he was a motor mouth, and when he was Spider-Man.
Yeah. I like that contradiction a lot, and that he had Kevin Arnold disease as Peter Parker. Yep. Where he wouldn't, and like extreme Kevin Arnold disease, where he wouldn't say anything, which was almost overdone, but kind of painful to watch, but not unrealistic.
Right. Yeah,
I thought the scene of Peter asking Gwen out, I thought was great, and that played up to Webb two of them.
You know, or the other, you know, he never said anything, and that was fun. But you know what you're saying is right. Like they pushed a lot of those things forward. All of a sudden, there, like, you want to come to dinner. All of a sudden, he's got a Spider-Man outfit. You know, all of a sudden, the Lizard has his plan. Those are the problems that I think I saw pace-wise, but I kind of got over it.
My other problem with the Lizard was that they had it for a moment with the lab coat, but then it ripped off and fell off. Keep the lab coat on always. It's not hard. Just keep the lab coat on.
How much better is CGI now than just a little while ago.
Yeah.
The scene at the end with the webbing through the city and swinging through the city, like that, I'm like, that's there's McFarlane. We just saw McFarlane Spider-Man on the screen.
He didn't get any money for it either. Todd made a call. Why do you talk like that, Todd? I didn't like the FPS shots at all. They felt disjointed and out of place.
Yeah,
it felt like they were trying to exploit 3D.
Yeah, I didn't see it in 3D, so I had another.
I could see that 3D didn't bother me. It wasn't that bad.
It didn't. It wasn't really.
Yeah. The FPS stuff, I'm kind of with you. I'm like, give or take it, but it wasn't obnoxiously 3D. I thought I've gotten used to 3D. It's like it's fine. I'll watch it in 3D. It's like all these people were anti 3D. I think you know you're tilting at windmills.
I'm not and I just don't go. I prefer not to. But right. You don't wear glasses. I got to wear two glasses at one time. It's uncomfortable.
Yeah. Well, it's not my fault.
It's not my fault either.
I'm trying to think of.
GOP on me there.
So on their official Facebook page, they posted that The Amazing Spider-Man is the first installment in a movie trilogy that will explore how our favorite hero's journey was shaped by the disappearance of his parents. So they are shaping this whole.
Right.
Epic as the so we'll figure. I mean, I think I'm only speculating that they took this stuff out of the first film to expand on it in the second and third films. I don't know, but it doesn't make any sense otherwise why you would take out a good chunk of the movie and leave. I mean, someone made a good point that somewhere, I don't remember who, that if you when Peter's Googling his dad, he comes up with an article about him having died in a plane crash.
A car crash.
It was a plane crash. Why then was he mad that his father never came back? Yeah. Like clearly, I think it was in the BuzzFeed article actually. Like clearly, they changed things a last minute.
Yeah,
that his parents just originally, I think it was supposed to be his parents just disappeared and were never seen again. Now he, you know, in the movie, he sees that his parents died, and I think they changed things last minute because it doesn't make sense. So there's a lot of it that doesn't make sense, but it's balanced out very well by the performances. Almost everyone in the film, Emma Stone was great. She's got gigantic eyes.
She was great. I thought she was Gwen Stacy. I mean, like talk about, I mean, like the funny thing was, is that like, if you, it's hard to not keep comparing it to the Raimi movies, but it's like Kirsten Dunst was never Mary Jane. It was always Kirsten Dunst playing Mary Jane, but Emma Stone was Gwen Stacy. Does that make sense?
The only thing I thought, I've heard this, is that they were a little advanced for high school kids. Like the coincidence of her working in the lab and being really technically adept was a bit much. And she, I mean, we've seen her play teenagers lots of times, but she actually did come off as a little older than high school.
They both are at that edge. It was at one point she said something about being like 17 or something, and I just giggled because it's like that was 10 years
but
ago.
But also, it did feel like high school. In that, like the shit at the beginning with Flash and just being in the hallway, like I was like, that's right, that's uncomfortable.
There was a couple of weird choices though, like when Peter catches the football that was going to hit her in the head and throws it, and bends the like everyone saw it. No one put two and two together?
That was a gag.
It was a gag that didn't need to happen, though.
They overdid his powers, the strength. That's the one I agree with you there. I think they overdid the him getting used to his powers type thing.
But I do think that it worked as a really nice metaphor for sort of the awkwardness of teenage. Like, sure, I felt that a lot.
Without the crowd of people standing there watching him break the uprights. I mean,
That was similar to the Tobey Maguire cafeteria scene.
Exactly.
I liked that he was actually really like an angry. Like, he was mad about everything for a while, and I thought they pulled that across. And again, it's sort of in that teenager motif, like he just doesn't know what to do with all those emotions. And he's
knocking Flash down in the gym was great, but then jumping half the court and horizontally dunking was like, again, is no one else going to put all this stuff together and say, hey, this kid can fly,
right? Yeah,
and bend the
skateboarders, man.
I don't know. I there was a lot to like. There was also a lot that left you scratching your head going, what is going on? It certainly wasn't X-Men First Class in that the movie we didn't hear about suddenly became awesome. It was sort of this movie, okay, there's a reason why it's not generating as much buzz as the other two.
Yeah. I'm the opposite guy in this one. Like, it just, that stuff just didn't bother me. It's interesting. I guess maybe I just needed to get out.
Were you high?
I'm rarely not, Connor.
Okay.
I mean,
ratings.
I think, what scale are we using?
Let's use 5 stars, out of 5 stars.
3. I think 3 is a fair number.
I did 3.5. And the half is Garfield.
I could live with that.
Josh?
I want to be like 3 7/8. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not quite 4, but 3.5 feels low. Like, I really enjoyed it, but I recognize there are technical problems, but I got past it with just sort of an overall enjoyment.
Yeah, overall, I mean, the from the performance to the special effects,
Uncle
to the spider,
Ben.
Uncle Ben.
Uncle Ben made that movie for me. And, you know, I'm a big West Wing fan, so.
So what is your rating is what, 3.75?
Yeah, I'll go with that.
All right, we'll see you next week.
No, we won't.
Well, almost. That was Spider-Man. We're going to have Batman: The Dark Knight Rises a week after Comic-Con, so we'll be back in 2 weeks for that. And then we have G.I. Joe got bumped to next year, so we're running out of film.
That's crazy, by the way.
there was a lot of marketing out there. Like, something must have gone horribly
crazy,
wrong.
They realized, hey, the biggest star in the movie, we killed him off in the first 10 minutes. So we need to go back and undo that. So that's what they're doing.
God.
They're bringing Duke back.
Woohoo.
She was only 15 years old.
I'm excited for the next volume of this. I'm optimistic for the rest of this trilogy.
Well, the movie's flaws weren't the characters or the setting, so in that sense, I'm looking forward to going back into the world. It's just the technical aspects.
There's no way that's not a better movie.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. You got a young filmmaker. You know, they've got to do it fast, otherwise these people are going to be retiring.
Andrew Garfield's already getting the lines on his face that you get.
Have you ever seen, like, I think it's the Red Riding Trilogy that...
I have it on Netflix. I'm ready to
that
watch
he,
it.
It's like a Northern English murder mystery that he plays a journalist. And that was years ago that he did that.
Oh, also, I really like that he was skinny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, tall and skinny and lanky. Like,
long
really
fingers.
Fit Spider-Man sort of physicality, which I like. Yep.
Agreed. Cool. Amazing Spider-Man, about three and a half in that range. Not perfect, but not awful.
Go to comic.com. You can read Paul's great review, even if you agree with him. It's a wonderfully written review. And you can also come to iFanboy.com and talk about the movie, tell us what you thought, and come to iFanboy.com for the daily content for our weekly podcast about the comics, and you'll come back in a couple of weeks for The Dark Knight Rises, which we cap off the Nolan trilogy.
Yeah. Exciting. Which I'm going out on record. I have a bet with a friend of mine. I don't think the Batman movie will outpace Avengers in terms of box office.
Yep. It'd be really difficult. It's the third highest grossing film of all time.
Well, yeah, but it beat the last Batman movie. I mean, like the
what do we do when we fall down, Bruce?
That's awful. It was only sex tape.
I can only say those other two phrases, and they're not even that good. You're only supposed to blow the bloody doors off. I watched all that. Right. I watched that recently, and I didn't know that line was going to be in it, and I was tickled.
All right, until next time, I'm Connor.
I'm Ron.
Get back up, sir.
He was only 6. I can't even.
He was only 16 years old. All of our working days are done, but a tiny few are having all of the fun. Apologies to the sick and the young. Get used to their dust in your lungs.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means, and I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert-extrovert thing, and some people, you know, like, they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away, and, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which, again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people, and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened. But it can be tough to deal with. And also, one of the things is, like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/iFanboy.